thank you for being here with us today. I believe that today is a breakthrough day, like I believe every time we gather is a breakthrough day, that God would move and do something supernatural in our lives. And so if you're here with us, thanks for being here. If you're new, my name is Tommy Smarge. I pastor the church, and my rock next to Jesus is my beautiful wife, who's helping me lead this ministry to where God wants it to go with the guidance of our bishop, Bishop Tom, and great staff and leadership. But thank you for worshiping with us today. We'd love to bless you with a gift. If you visit our Welcome Center after service, they have something special for you. But I want to preach a word today. I don't want to take a lot of time up because I want to be able to minister and receive communion. I want to preach a word today that I've entitled The Father's Business. The Father's Business. Now listen. We all like to get in people's business, don't we? Don't we? We like to get in people's business. Let's be honest. We want to know what's happening. Sometimes we get a little too nosy about people's business. We want to interject in people's business. But what we need to really be doing is being getting in the business of what God's all about and getting in His business and knowing His business, that we can be releasers of that business here on earth. And so I want to share this message with you today. I believe there's great breakthrough for you individually as a person growing as a child of God, a son and daughter of God, closer to Jesus. And so I'm going to read to you today from the text that describes the account of Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple. See, I believe He sets a pattern for us moving forward. He sets something into motion at a young age. Sometimes we take our kids and we're like, well, you're still too young. I said at the first service, there are young people in that back Sunday school department right now from the age about 8, 9, 10, 11 that I would have no problem saying, lay your hands on me, son or daughter of God, and pray for me. Because these young kids know who Jesus is. They talk about Jesus. They love Jesus. They share Jesus. They're uncompromised. And they have faith that is unmovable because it hasn't been tainted with everything that the world's trying to throw at us as adults. And so at 12 years of age, we're going to learn a lesson from Jesus Himself. And so if you have your word, I want to read to you from the book of Luke, the second chapter. And I'm going to start with the 40th verse. This is prior to the actual temple visit. I don't have it up there. I changed and added the scripture this morning. But if you have your Bibles, turn there. Wait a few seconds so we can read it. And you can look at it while I'm reading it to you. Great wealth here for us today. It says this, verse 40, and the child grew. Circle the word grew in your Bibles. If you're a writer, if you mark it up, circle grew. It's important to know that we must be growing, not just physically, but spiritually. It says, and he became strong in spirit. And when he was growing, what was really happening was he was developing and becoming mature or more mature in certain areas of his life. Key to understand that we too must be growing. It goes on and says, strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years of age, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When the days of the feast were complete, as they returned, the child Jesus remained. Circle remained. He remained. Listen, here's a great example. There are some people in our lives that we must remain and let them walk away. We must get away from the busyness. They were traveling in a caravan, in a pack. They had a wolf mentality here of how they traveled. And he remained back because he was understanding and began to understand by remaining back, he was going to grow. Something was going to happen. Let me encourage you. Sometimes you got to remain back. You got to let everyone else go. He remained back from friends and family. Don't take it personal. Don't look at it in a personal way. But there are some friends and some family that we got to let them just go ahead of us a little bit right now. Because God's going to do a work in me, and then when I'm where I need to be, then I'm going to step back into that circle or that caravan of people. I'm going to tear it up for Jesus. So he remained behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing to be in their company, they went a day's journey. And they searched for him among his relatives and his acquaintances. When they did not find him, they absolutely freaked out. They went nuts. They're not winning Parent of the Year award here in this one. Okay? Helicopter parents were not here in this particular passage. And so when they realized it, they lost all sense of sanity, probably, and they returned to Jerusalem. But it gets better, because when they returned to Jerusalem, it wasn't until 3 days later that they found him. 3 days. I lost my son in a store one day for like 3 minutes. I was a crazy daddy running up and down the aisles yelling for my son because he decided it would be fun to hide in the clothes. I love my son, but that day, boy, I'll tell you what. I was a lunatic, 3 minutes, 3 days. But they go back to the city and they find him. But what I love, the place where they find him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking questions, listening and interacting. And his and they were all astonished with his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to his son, "Why have you dealt with us like this? Look, your father and I have anxiously searched for you." And he says to them, like any 12-year-old would say, "How is it that you searched for me? Mom, Dad, didn't you know that I need to be about my father's business?" Like a 12-year-old would, you know, all like he's, they know the world, know everything about it. "I need to be about my father's business." That statement rings true of us today. We need to be about our father's business, not our earthly father, our heavenly father. But they did not understand the word which he had spoke. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these words in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Father, I thank you for the word. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our spirit man this day to receive all that you would deposit into us. And then, God, help us to begin to activate it. Help us to begin to live it, to let it be a part of our DNA each and every day. In your name I pray. Amen. Grab a seat real quick. We're going to get moving here and get into this word. So this is an amazing account that as a parent, in a non-spiritual outlook, you're like, what the heck went on there? See, but the reality is, it wouldn't have been difficult for them really to not know that their son wasn't with them. See, because when they would travel from city to city, or to go celebrate feasts, and the whole village would go, they would travel as a pack. They would travel as a caravan. And I said earlier, it's like a wolf pack, where one or two would go, the whole pack would go. And so, but they did this for a reason, because in a large group of people, in a large gathering like that, there's safety, there's security, there's provision that can be given to one another. One can be helping one with their children. One can be helping one with the older generation. So there was a concept of why they did that. And so really, I can understand how Mary might have thought that Jesus was hanging out with Joseph, and Joseph was thinking, hey, Jesus is hanging out with his mama. And so, but the reality, they both could have been thinking, oh, he's playing with so-and-so. They're playing Kick the Rock, or whatever they played back then. And so who knew what they were doing, but they figured that he was somewhere in this caravan, only to realize that he's not. And so when they journey back, it's all on. It's a beautiful story that we can learn from. Do you know that, you know, I actually had a friend that happened to in real life. One of my super close, dearest friends of mine was actually with his whole family traveling, a lot of them, multiple cars, multiple places they were staying, and they were all at a restaurant, and his child had asked to go to the bathroom, and so he said, yeah, go ahead, Well, in the prior to getting there, you know, one child was in this car, another child was in that car. They had nieces and nephews in their car, so it was all switching all around, you know. So it wasn't like their kids were with them. And so while his child was in the bathroom, they had paid the bill, and they thought that people started loading up in the car. And so what happened was they get in the car, and they begin to travel, and they get about 30 miles down the road, and they stop at this mall, and then all of a sudden, a phone rings, and they pick up the phone, and they're like, hello, is this Mr. So-and-so? And they're like, yes, this is. They're like, we have your child. And he's like, what do you mean you have my child? It happens. It happens. And so being the great friend that I am, I found out about it, and I had called him and said that the sheriff called me here in New York and wanted to know what was going down there. And he's like, you need to stop right now. You don't know what I went through. You have no idea. I said, what happened? He goes, and he told the story, and it sounded just like the story I read to you. So it can happen. But what I want you to know is that when this happened, what Jesus did, there's a wealth for you and I as believers to learn from. I'm not saying if you're a young person to disappear from your parents, but what I'm saying is he did this for a reason and for a purpose. He was driven to a point because it was about to take place. He was beginning to step into the fullness of who he was. And so I really believe today, when we take a deeper look at this scripture and reflect on Jesus, I want us to reflect on ourselves and ask ourselves the question, do I have that quality? Do I have that whatever Jesus did that I share with you, is that in me? Is that motivating me? Is that being released through me? And so when I looked at the passage and I was praying during the week and praying in here at home, what I really noticed, the first thing that jumped off the pages to me, was that at 12 years of age, he had a great zeal, a great desire, a great passion to know more about the Heavenly Father. See, because what 12-year-old would want to stay back with a bunch of educated older people? What would drive someone to do that? What would drive a 12-year-old to leave the comfort and the safety of his friends and of his family? What would drive a 12-year-old to say, I don't even know where my next meal's coming from. I don't know where I'm going to sleep, if I'm on the street or if I'm in a home or in a temple. I don't know any of this stuff. But what would drive this 12-year-old boy to stay back to learn and want to learn and want to grow? It spoke volumes to me, but it was the passion and the zeal and the hunger and the desire to know more about the Father. So it drove him to do things that he probably normally wouldn't have done. And so it's no different for you and I today, is that when it comes to God and my walk with God and my relationship with God, what is driving me? What is giving me, you know, the drive to push myself closer to God? Is it zeal? Is there an enthusiasm? Is there an energy about me to pursue this relationship with God? Jesus at 12, it drove him to want to know the Father more intently, to know more about him, more deeper than he already knew. Is it passion? Do we have passion as believers within us? We got passion about a lot of things, don't we? We got passion about music. We got passion about movies. We got passion about people, about clubs we're involved in. We got passion about our sports teams. We got passion about everything. But do we have zeal and passion to know the Father? That we would know him, that we can then do his business here on planet Earth. Because zeal and passion, I believe, drove Jesus to stay there that day, because he had a hunger and a desire and an unquenchable thirst to know more about Father, Abba Daddy. He had this desire, a strong wanting of more. Of more. So the question is, what pushes you and I to Jesus? What's pushing us, or what pushes us in life? And what's pushing us, is it pushing us towards God or away from God? See, there was a point in my life where I had a lot of people trying to push me away from God. They didn't like it. They didn't like that I loved Jesus. Well, they had to get over that quick. And so there may be things that are pushing us, but they're pushing us in the wrong direction. So when I looked at Jesus, I realized, yeah, he's the Son of God, but there's a passion within him. There's a zeal. There's a desire to know more about his Father and about his Father's business. And I think we can learn from that. And I think we have to ask that question to ourselves. Am I passionately in love with God? Am I passionately pursuing God? Am I going after him with all that I have? Am I all in? Am I desiring and having a strong feeling of every single day about getting in his presence, about praying, about just sitting and just being around him? If not, I'm going to pray for an impartation today. That you would be filled with an unquenchable thirst for Jesus. We need that, don't we, brother? We need that. We need an unquenchable thirst. You know, you know how it is when you're thirsty in the natural, right? Just can't get enough water in. Maybe you know you shouldn't have had chicken fingers, so you snuck them. And then after you snuck them, they were so salty, you're so thirsty now. And, don't pretend you never snuck chicken fingers. But, you know, there's something about that breading. I haven't snuck them. I've been good this month. Trust me, I'm working my butt off. But you're so thirsty, and you're drinking, and you can't get enough. That's what we need to do with Jesus and the things of God. And so he displays an amazing zeal. But what I also love about him is that in the midst of this zeal, in the midst of this pursuit of God, the scripture says that Jesus was identified as someone who was growing in God. You know what? We as believers must not be at the same place we were the day we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, unless it was during worship. We should be growing. Our worship team, they practice. They work on things during the week. Why? Because they want to grow to be better individuals that would lead us into the presence of God. We, as believers, should be growing in God on a daily basis. It's so important for us, because if we haven't left the very plateau or the very first stage of our development of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, then we have to fix that. We have to fix that. You know, we really need to grow deeper and more authentic. We gotta strip aside all the hallelujah, praise you, I love you, brother, give me a hug. We got to strip aside all the, you know, the churchology, the words of, you know, someone, you know, does something that has nothing to do with spiritual things, and but we're amening and hallelujah and throwing all these terminologies that most people don't understand what's going on. We got to strip it all back and just be authentic and real in our pursuit and love of growth of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because when it's real, then it just comes out. It's not fake. Because most of us don't talk that way outside of Sunday morning. We don't. But something compels us on a Sunday morning to drop 32 hallelujahs and praise you, brother, and give me a heavenly hug on a Sunday morning. But we got to strip all that aside, and we got to get authentic. We got to get real with Jesus. And we got to grow. My son graduates from college in how many days? About a week? 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Now listen, when my son walks across the platform of Canisius College and he steps into the parking lot, that boy better know more than he did when he walked across the stage at preschool graduation. Right? I expect it, right? Because if not, two things are going to happen. I'm getting in the car, I'm going to Canisius, and I'm demanding some money back. One thing. And two, I can't even talk about it on the platform. Because why? Because I expect that young man to grow. I expect him to graduate and be able to tell me colors and numbers and shapes. And in his thing, he better tell me formulas and different things in the chemistry field, because we expect him to grow on a daily basis in natural life, right? That's no different than in our spiritual life. We don't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then just leave it at just that simple prayer at the altar or wherever you may have prayed that prayer. But there now has to be the second step, which is a growth process of moving forward in him. Right? That's what happened with Jesus. He turned to the age of 12, and it says a little bit prior to that, people began to notice something was changing with Jesus. He was not the same little baby that was swaddled, you know. He began to become a young man. At the age of 12, in that culture, he was considered an adult. He was considered a man already. And so what was happening is they also noticed that he was growing. And it tells us how he was growing. It says that he grew in spirit. He was spiritually growing in the things of God and in the desires of what God wanted him to be or who he wanted him to be. He began to grow in wisdom. In other words, he began to get better understanding and knowledge of how to handle situations. He began to grow and had the ability to be a good listener. He had the ability to be a good listener. He had the ability to be a good listener. He had the ability to be a good listener. If you want to grow, we need to be better listeners. Trust me. Listening is key. It's so key. That's why we have to put our phones down when we're with people. That's why we have to, when we're having dinner with our kids or our family, or we're at church or at small group, we got to put our phones away. We got to learn to look and make eye contact. We need to let the person talk and absorb what they're saying, and then let it begin to formulate something within us, and let it begin to teach us or show us or reveal things to us. And then what we need to do is, because the Holy Spirit is within us, it will spit out the bones and it'll keep the meat. See, because it says he became a better listener, which then allowed him to be a better communicator. See, better listeners, as they grow, then become better communicators. Because you could be in a conversation. And how many of us know that our elder Ted, we talked about this multiple times. You could be down the street, hey, how you doing, brother? I'm doing good. That's just a normal response. Hey, how you doing? Oh, brother, I'm doing good. Oh, yeah, yeah. And we just keep going. But then what about one day when you used to ask someone, how are you doing? They're like, man, I'm doing terrible. Oh, yeah, I'll talk to you later. You totally didn't listen because you were expecting that person to say something else. When God's saying we need to be better listeners, not only to what he's saying and how the Spirit of God is directing and guiding us, but also to the people around us. He was growing in his listening skills and his communication skills. The word actually says that he grew as a son to his earthly parents. He became obedient and he cared and tended for them. You saw what happened at the cross. You saw what happened at the way. He loved his family, and he grew in being a good son to his family. He grew in favor with God and with man. He grew in the approval and the support of God and man. And I looked at that, and I'm like, I asked myself, am I growing, God? Am I growing at the rate you want me to grow? Am I moving forward? God, am I a good listener? Am I a good listener to what you're saying? Am I a good listener to what my wife is saying? Am I a good listener to what my kids are saying when they talk to me? God, am I a good communicator? Am I communicating good enough, God, what you want me to say on a Sunday, that the kingdom of God is being built? Not necessarily just the church, but the kingdom of God. God, are people coming to know Jesus because I'm communicating better? And God, if not, show me what I need to do and how to. God, am I growing in your spirit? Am I allowing your Holy Spirit, God, to move greatly through me, but more today than it did yesterday? God, am I growing in these areas? Am I growing in wisdom, the ability to make proper choices and decisions off the knowledge that you have given me through revelation of your Spirit speak to me? God, am I growing? We have to ask this question. I ask this question. I ask this question all the time. God, what do I need to change? What do I need to read? What do I need to watch to become a better whatever? What is it, God? See, because in the natural, we are expected to grow. Well, it's no different in the spirit. We're expected to grow spiritually as well. And I looked at that script, that passage, and I saw that it said at 12 years of age, he was growing. He was growing. Some people would struggle with that, that this 12-year-old had such knowledge. Some people would struggle with that, that he was looked at in this way all of a sudden. It'd be like if I brought a 12-year-old on the platform to share scripture or lead worship. I did that one time. We did that multiple times. David was the 12-year-old leading worship with the youth band. He'd come up in his vest, in his tie, and looked all sweet in his acoustic, and had a whole youth band behind us. And you know what? Some people were just so loved it, and some people were like, oh, why are they doing worship today? Because at 12, they're anointed. Because at 12, they're pursuing the heart of God. Because at 12, they want to do what God wants them to do. And so we're going to give them an opportunity to use their gifts at the age of 12 to lead other people to know Jesus Christ. And so they were growing. So much that my wife and I sat down and we began to think about all those people that were part of that. About 90% of them are either serving in a church, working in a church, or attending a church on a weekly basis. See, at a young age, they were growing, and they fell in love with Jesus, and they haven't stopped loving him, they haven't stopped serving him, and they're just moving forward in it. And so here Jesus says he's full of passion, zeal, and just he's on fire for more of the Father, and he's growing. Which gets me to the last part of what I really jumped off the page that I need to share with you is that all of a sudden, he makes this statement. He says, how is it that you search me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? See, that's the meat of everything right there. I must be about my Father's business. That statement was no disrespect to Joseph. That statement was no disrespect to Mary, his earthly parents. It wasn't disrespectful to Joseph that I must be about my Father's business. In other words, I must be making furniture, I must be making chairs, tables. And No. What he was saying is, I realize who I am. I realize that you're my earthly parents, but I need to be also about my heavenly Father's business. I need to know Abba Daddy's business, because I need to begin to fulfill the work of it. I need to begin to step out and do the work of his business. And so he makes this statement, and I love that, because what he's telling you and I is that he knows who he is. We sang a lot about it. I didn't realize how much Pastor David, that we sang about knowing who you are in Christ. A lot of these songs we declared today was knowing who you are in Jesus. You know, in Jesus, I'm not forsaken. In Jesus, I'm forgiven. In Jesus, I walk victorious. In Jesus, I'm the head and not the tail. In Jesus, I'm called blessed and not cursed. In Jesus, you see what I mean? And so he knew who he was. He knew that I am the son of the God Almighty. And if we're going to be about Daddy's business, if we're going to be about living life and moving forward in life, we must understand and know who we are. What is our identity? Who are we as people? See, if I have to introduce myself to you in a full explanation, here's what I would say. I would say, hi, my name's Tommy Smarts Jr. I'm a son of the living Most High God. No disrespect to Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley. I would have to start that way, though, because God blessed them, created and formed me in my mother's womb. So I'm a son from the living, a son from the God Almighty. But then I would say, not only am I a son of God Almighty, but I'm a son of Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley Smarts. No disrespect to my wife. Because then the third thing I'd have to say is that I'm the son of God, the son of Pastor Thomas Shirley, but I'm also the husband of my amazing wife, Tracy. No disrespect to my kids, but then I would have to go to another level and say, not only the son of God and the son of Thomas Shirley and the husband of Tracy, but I'm the coolest father, the most amazing dad to Matt and Emily. But then I can't leave this place out. I can't leave my family here out, because then I would have to say those five things, say, but I'm also privileged to be the pastor of the most amazing church that I believe is in Western New York with you amazing people. And so I'd have to add you to that. And then I would have to add my friends, the ones I like and the ones I'm praying for. I'm the friend of so-and-so. And so, but I can do that only because I know who I am in Christ. And so I found my identity in him because I've been washed, I've been set free. I'm a new creation. I'm alive. I'm not dead. I walk in victory, not defeat. Even though at times in the midst of a storm, it seems like nothing's happening. But no, I'm in the hands of God. God goes before me. God stands behind me. He stands at my side. He's guarding me. So I know who I am in Christ. And see, Jesus knew that day because he said, about my Father's business. He knew he was a son of God. Do you know today that you are a son or daughter of the living Most High God? If not, we are going to pray for a revelation that God would touch your heart, touch your mind, and reveal to you how much you mean to him, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, because that's where the start of everything takes place. You are highly favored. You are precious. You are, like Pastor Rod said, more than a conqueror. You are all the things the Word of God declares you to be. You are, because you are a son or daughter of God. And he makes that declaration to his earthly parents. No disrespect to them, but he's like, listen, I need to be about my heavenly Father's business. And then what I realized, what was driving that was his, what was the motive in his heart was to go after God. He was motivated to go after him. He was moved. See, there's a place in God's heart for all of us. The question is, do we have a place for God in our hearts? See, there was a place for Jesus, just like you and I, in the Father's heart. But that day, there was a place in Jesus' heart for the Father, and he was going after it. And he was declaring, I'm a son of God, and I'm going after him, and I'm going to seek first him. I'm going to see what he's all about, so that when I am called to step out in what I'm here for, I know exactly where I need to go and what I need to do. And so he was motivated with a heart motive to seek and to go after the Father. And I said to myself, wow, if Jesus did it, man, I better do it too. Do you know how, you ever ask that question to your kids? If Billy would jump off the bridge, would you jump too? Did you ever ask that question to your kids? Right? My wife asked my kids, well, if your father would jump off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge? Right? And we say that because it's like, don't do it. But this is an instance that we say, if Jesus would do it, shouldn't we do it? Would we do it? Can we do it? Jesus urges us to seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness. Jesus also tells us that we're to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of who we are. It's declared by him, it's motivation for us to have that heart motive to go after, to be consumed by it, because it links with the zeal and the passion and the desire to be more connected. And then he says this. He says, Father's business. He declared that he had to know and be about Daddy's business. Not talking carpentry work, but talking Heavenly Father business. Heavenly Father business. See, Jesus had this desire to know and to invest in the Father's business. And, you know, yes, we are called in life to many things.
We are called to be doctors. We are called to be lawyers. We are called to own businesses. We're called to work in factories. We're called to be firemen and policemen. We're called to work in government. We're called in all these different things. But there's also one part of your calling that no matter what you do as your job in life is part of it. And that's to do the business of the Father. So if you own your own business, you got to do the business of the Father as well. Well, what is that? Well, the business of God, Abba, Father in heaven, is love. He's about love. That's his business. It's about bringing restoration and wholeness. That's his business. It's about, you know, releasing compassion and mercy. He's about grace and mercy. He's about comfort. He's about joy. He's about building relationships and not tearing them down. This is the business of the Father. This is the business of the God that you and I love. This is what he's about. He's about advancing and not destroying. He's about bringing life and not death. This is what he's all about. And Jesus is like, I need to know what the business of my daddy in heaven is so I can begin to release that same business where I go, whether I'm in the playground, whether I'm at the schoolyard, whether I'm in the synagogue, wherever I may be, that God would use me to release the business that he's called me to do. And that part is no different for you and I. It's no different for you and I. So what does that really mean? Well, because I'm so passionately on fire for God and I'm consumed with a zeal that I just can't stop thinking about Jesus and other people coming to know Jesus, and because I've made a decision that from Circle C camp back after horseback riding, that I received Jesus with my little green Gideon's Bible because they told me about John 3:16. After that day at Circle C camp, I need to begin to progress and move forward. And so, but there was a process where I kind of stopped. And then at about, you know, my late teens, early 20s, all of a sudden I picked that progress back up. And so now I'm working forward. So because I'm passionately on fire, full of zeal and consumed with desire to know Jesus, to love Jesus and to serve Jesus, I'm now trying to grow in him about all those things that he wants me to know and do all those things that he wants me to do. But I got to grow. So I'm moving day by day. And everybody grows at a different rate. So don't get upset if someone's growing faster than you. And you're not, as long as you're growing and moving forward, praise God, hallelujah. Not everybody learns at the same rate, at the same level. But as long as we're growing and moving forward, we are going in the right direction. If we begin to go backwards and we begin not to grow, and we begin to fall backwards, then we got an issue. But because of that, and because I know who I am in Christ, I know that I'm his son. I've been bought with a price. I know all the promises of who he says I am and what he declares I am to be and who I am. I now have this motive to seek after him. I'm motivated. My heart is consumed with him because now I got to release the business. I have to share and demonstrate the love of Christ. Because why? Because the Bible says, this is the first part of the business, we got to love other people. The Bible says that this is a new commandment that he gave us. That you would love one another. Come on, somebody. We got to love one another. Listen, unless you live in a cave and you wear earplugs and you have blinders on, if you have any connection to the outside world, you realize that today there's a lot of hate outside of these four walls. Right? This world, our neighborhoods, our schools, our relationships with other people, we need a dose of love. We need an outpouring of God's love. We need an outpouring of that compassion on our lives. And see, the thing is, if we're believers and we're about the Father's business, it's my responsibility to release love to other people, to love other people, even those who have done me wrong. I don't have to hang out with them. I don't have to do, no, I just have to love them with the love of Christ. I have to love those who don't look like me. I have to love those who don't live by me. I have to love those who may come from another country or nation. I have to love all of mankind. Why? Because God says love one another. Love your enemies, he even declares. Love that crazy family member that you know when you have dinner it's going to get squirrely in there. You got to love them. Imagine if that squirrely individual got saved for Jesus, what Christmas and Easter and every other holiday, family reunions, what it would be like. Wouldn't that be amazing? Holy cow. I got like three of them I'm praying for. Get them saved. I mean, it's squirrely and fun with them the way they are, but throw Jesus in the mix. Oh, man, it's getting awesome up in there. Well, we got to love. That's his business. But then the Bible says not only we're to love, but we're to go as what? Ambassadors. This is part of his business that we must do because we are called to be ambassadors. And an ambassador actually is an official acting as a representative of. You and I are representatives of God Almighty. We are called that. We are called ambassadors. We're to be ambassadors. And so what we're to do is we're to go and act on his behalf and do those things and present those things the way that he would do them, the way that he would want them, because he's given us the authority. God has given you the authority to pray with people. He's given you authority to talk about him. He's given you the authority to believe. He's given us the authority. We're called them back. And so part of that is that I'm an ambassador representing who Jesus is, loving everyone prayerfully to a saving knowledge of him as their personal Lord and Savior. It's a part of his business. We see this all play out with Jesus and what he did and how he acted. Worship team, you can come up. How he moved and what he did. But not only are we to love, not only are we to be representatives, we're to actually make disciples. We're to make disciples. We got to take it even a step further. This is the business of God. Because the Bible says that in the Great Commission that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and Jesus is releasing it unto us. And he says, go therefore and make disciples. What he's telling us is we're to go, we're to lead people to the foot of the cross. We're to share our testimony. We're to share what Jesus did in our lives. I always say the strongest testimony is you, the strongest witness tool is your testimony of where you were and where you are right now. And you might still be in the process of whatever, but if you're 2 days growth, you're farther than you were 2 days ago, and that's a testimony. And he says, go therefore and make disciples. And he wants us to share the love of Christ. He wants us to share about the Holy Spirit. He wants to share about the fruit. He wants us to talk about what love, what true love really is. We read it in Corinthians. He wants us to let other people know that our who we are in our identity could be who they are in their identity in God Almighty. And so his business is about love. His business is about restoration. His business is about wholeness. His business is about grace and mercy. But he needs representatives to release it, being about his business. Listen, I said earlier, we love to be in people's business. It's just what we do as people. It's humanity. We love to be about people, and we love to get in people's business and try to tell them how to run their business. Well, listen, you know, I know what's going on. I don't know if I do that. And Jesus is like, listen, get in my business and do my business everywhere you go. And his business is loving people. His business is leading them to the foot of the cross. His business is being a representative of the Most High God. And we can do that, and we can thrive in it. Why? Because my identity is in him. I am full with a passion, a zeal, and a desire for Jesus and the things of God. We can do that because my heart is filled and motivated to move forward in him and allow him to move through me. It's all available to us. But it goes back to the simple question, or the simple statement that he made. Did you not know I needed to be about my Father's business? If someone asked you, what are you doing? What would you say? What are you doing? Did you not know I'm all about my Father's business? Did you not know that I belong to Southtowns Christian Center? And our goal is to be a people that would share and demonstrate the love of Jesus. Do you not know that as a people and a family at Southtowns, our goal is not only to share and demonstrate the love of Jesus, but it's to equip people with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that declares the promises and all those things that I have. And did you not know that as a people, as a family member of the body of Southtowns Christian Center, not only am I sharing and am I loving and demonstrating the love of God and sharing the Word of God and my testimony and the truth of God's Scriptures, but I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, brother. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's my job to release that Holy Spirit into those that I come into contact with, because that's about my Father's business. That's who I am. Do you see where I'm going with this? That's what we're called to do. And you know what? It's hard. Let's be honest, it's not easy. It preaches really easy, but when we leave here, it gets difficult. Because we face the pressures. We all of a sudden, the mind game comes. Well, what will they think about me? How will this go? But the passion will outweigh the worry. We sang it. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am no longer a slave to anything that would try to control me. I am no longer a slave or consumed by anything that would pull me away from God, because I am free, because the Son set me free. I'm about my Father's business. There's always opportunity. Let me close with this story before we go to the communion table. I had the awesome privilege this weekend of having a garage sale at my house. It wasn't even my stuff. I love my parents so much. Like Jesus, I was been obedient for 50 years. They'd moved it, so we're, you know, had a garage sale. And I was about my Father's business at the garage sale. Yeah, I'm going to sell some stuff. But my goal was to somehow, in some way, shape, or form, talk about Jesus. Or let someone know or invite someone to church. And we had a couple come yesterday morning, and they're talking to us, and there's just a sweet spirit about them. And I'm looking at this young man, and he's really my age, like I said, young man. And had a hairline like mine, and we're kind of looking, and he's talking, and I'm trying to be a good listener. Okay, there's no squirrels running by or rabbits coming through my garage, so I'm not like all over. And I'm trying to be a good listener, but I'm like, I know this guy. And I got to the point, I'm like, hang on a second. My wife will test. I'm like, where did you grow up? Brandt. I said, Lake Shore? He goes, yeah. I said, what's your name? He told me his name. I'm like, I knew I knew you. I said, we graduated together, and we began to talk and share and stuff. And by the end of it, we're walking out. You know I got to do it. I got to talk a little about Jesus in the church. Because here's my opportunity. That's the Father's business. Does he know Jesus? Is his wife saved? Do they know who Jesus is? And so I begin to talk about God, and come to find out, they attend a church every Sunday. They're involved in leadership and some other stuff. I'm like, well, thank you, God. At least I got to know if he was saved or not saved. And then I had some other people come, and they gave me this little pamphlet, these two individuals. I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you. But, you know, we had a nice little dialogue about Jesus. See, it's just being about the Father's business. You just got to be available. You got to be willing. And when you know who you are, it's so much easier. When you have passion and zeal, listen, I go shopping to these stores. I go in to get food so I can sustain this amazing look. But I'm really on a hunt to build the kingdom of God. I'm looking for a person to pray with. I'm looking for someone to speak a positive word into. Whether it's the cashier yesterday who was absolutely amazing. She says, here's your candy bar, handsome man. I was like, hey, thank you, you know? My wife was right with me, though, and she was laughing. We were all joking. But I looked to see, God, is there someone that you'd place in my path that I could be about your business, that I could love them, that I could share the word with them, that I could pray for them, that I could release the Holy Spirit in some way, shape, and pray for the baptism? That's what God wants us to do. Jesus gave us an example of how to start to get there. It starts with zeal and passion. It goes to really growing and then the other aspects. And so it's available.
but you got to want it. You got to go for it. And so what I want to do is I want to take today's word and I want to seal it with the receiving of the communion elements. How powerful the elements of communion are. The broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the elders, the ushers to come down. And I'm going to ask our serving team to come on up here. And we serve an open communion. And so if you're with us for the first time, you're invited and welcome to receive the communion elements. What we do is we take them back to the seat with us. And then today, Pastor Dan is going to be coming and leading us in the receiving of our elements today. And so we're going to begin to worship with our song.